Just for the recording, so if you've not been here, you won't hear amplification come out of here, but God kind of put an amplifier in my vocal cords, so you should be able to hear me well. We are going to start just the beginning of a series we're going to be doing through 1 Corinthians, and I'm calling the whole series Unstoppable, and I thought it would be interesting to hear from you. When you hear that term, unstoppable, what comes to mind? The Hulk. Okay. What's that? The train. You saw the movie, huh? What? Rambo? You guys watch too many movies. An avalanche. What else? And a truck. Well, when I think of the word unstoppable, there's a few things that come to mind. And for me, they're very real pictures. I went to Mississippi after Hurricane Katrina twice. And I'll never forget, we actually came in at night and we went into the camp at night. So we couldn't see anything. The next morning when we got up, where we were, it's a place called Gulfport. If any of you know the Gulf of Mississippi, Gulfport is used to be a very significant place there. And where we were camping was where a Walmart had been. And it was gone. And then they took and drove us around the community. And I have never been in a place where war has destroyed it, but I imagined it would have looked a lot like that. There was nothing but remains of buildings and cars, everything all over the place. It was devastating. And as we talked to the people that lived there, this hurricane, when it came in, the water was, I believe, about 30 feet high, and it went up to 3 miles inland. And it destroyed everything in its path. Something else, when I think of the word unstoppable, I can't help but think of the tsunami that hit Indonesia, the hundreds of thousands of people that lost their lives. But I used to live in Hawaii, and many of you have probably either heard about or watched surfing contests on the pipeline, Sunset, Waimea Bay. There are three places along the north shore of Oahu where they get really big waves. And I've been sitting on the beach watching waves that were probably somewhere between 40 and 50 feet high, pounding. And the word unstoppable certainly comes to mind. I don't know if we have, can we put the image up there that, do we have that? Oh, we don't have that. Okay. Well, for me, that it's like this idea of unstoppable force, which we mentioned some other things, the Hulk and a train. But what does it mean that the Holy Spirit is an unstoppable force? Have you ever heard of that or thought about that, that God's power is unstoppable? Well, I've thought about it quite a bit, and I was thinking about different ways in which we see that. In fact, Daniel alluded to it when he was praying that it says, the power that raised Christ from the dead now lives in us. I mean, that's pretty powerful. I mean, I've unfortunately walked a number of people through death. I've watched people die right in front of me. I've had to process that with lots of people. And when someone's dead, there's this finality. And to imagine that the power of God, when Jesus spoke to Lazarus, who'd been dead for 3 days, he said, Lazarus, come forth, and he walks up out of the grave, that's pretty unstoppable. It says in the early church that Jesus said, I'm going to go be with the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, who will baptize you with power, and you will become my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And we see it happen. Holy Spirit comes down, the church is born, and there's this fire and this boldness. And even through persecution, it was dispersed around the world, and the gospel in a matter of a few years was taken from one side of the world to the other. It says that the Holy Spirit brings direction, clarity, comfort, conviction, brings healing, deliverance, and transformation. And God challenges us that we would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we would become an unstoppable force in the world around us. So what does that look like? What does that mean? Well, I was thinking about it, because sometimes we will even say things like, you know, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman and he won't ever go where he's not invited. And then I started thinking about that. I go, you know, that's not true. You know what? God shows up a lot of places he's not invited. And actually, he encounters a lot of people that did not want to encounter him. And there are two specific stories that came to mind, and they're both of Saul. One is in the Old Testament, one is in the New Testament. Saul in the Old Testament was the first king of Israel. Many of you know the story. He disobeyed God, and so God removed his presence from him. And then he had the prophet anoint David to be the next king. He was this young whippersnapper that trusted God, loved God. And the next thing you know, David is running for his life because Saul, the king, wants to kill him. Now, I don't know if you've ever had anybody want to kill you, but I think I would probably run too, especially if it's the king, right? He has all the power. Well, this amazing story in 1 Samuel 19 starts in verse 18 that David fled to where Samuel the prophet was. I guess he figured if God's bigger than everybody, safe place to be is with the prophet, right? He's close to God. I'm going to hang out with him. And so he does. Well, Saul the king hears about where David is. And so he sends 50 men to go and get him. He goes, go and get him and bring him back. I want him dead. Says the 50 men show up. And guess what? As soon as they get in the presence of Samuel and the prophets, the Spirit of the Lord comes on them and they begin to prophesy. They come back, or Saul hears about it, and he sends 50 more. Same thing happens. So he sends 50 more. The same thing happens. All the men begin to prophesy. Now, how many of you know they were not looking to start being prophetic that day? They were going to get David to fulfill their duty as soldiers. So finally Saul says, I've had enough. Now get it. He wants David dead. So he goes himself. And it says the moment that he shows up in the presence of Samuel and God, this is exactly what it says here. I think it's in verse chapter 19, verse 23. It says, but the Spirit of God came even upon him. He walked along prophesying until he came to Naoth. He stripped off his robes and also prophesied in Samuel's presence. He lay that way all that day and night. This is why people say, is Saul also among the prophets? Now, Saul did not change in that moment, but he had an encounter with the power of God that he was not wanting, anticipating, or expecting. So I'm going, well, I guess to actually have an encounter with the unstoppable power of God, you don't necessarily have to be seeking it. And then I thought about Saul in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, Saul was actually persecuting the church. He hated anybody that followed Jesus because he was convinced that Jesus was a false Messiah. He wasn't who he said he was. And so he was taking anybody out, arresting them, persecuting anyone. So he was so zealous, he gets the high priest to give him orders to go to Damascus, to go to a whole other country in Syria to bring back the people who were Christians there. And many of you again know the story. It comes out of Acts chapter 9. It says that even while he was on his way, that he hears a voice that says, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And it says in that moment, the power of God hit him, made him blind, and knocked him off his horse. And as he's laying there, he says, Lord, who are you? And he says, I'm Jesus, the one that you're persecuting. And then he goes, he's blind for 3 days. The Lord sends a man named Ananias to go to pray for him that heals him. He's instantly saved, comes to know, filled with God's Spirit. And it says immediately he goes out into the city and begins to defend Christ to the very people that he was standing with only days before. And he says he does it so well that they don't even know what to do. They want to kill him now. There's something that is unstoppable about the power of God. And as I was thinking about this, it made me wonder. In our world today, we have gotten so filled with the knowledge of man that we can quickly minimize the power of God. We have become so full of our own ability to reason that we can very quickly reason away a supernatural God. But yet, when I read Scripture, I see that Jesus said, I go to be with the Father, I will send the Holy Spirit, and then you will do, in John 14, verse 12, you will do greater things than the things you see me doing. Healing the sick, delivering those that are in bondage, setting people free by the power of Christ. So it made me wonder, have you ever encountered, maybe by choice, wanting to experience the supernatural and power of God, the power of God? Or maybe like the Sauls, you're just kind of along minding your own business, doing your own thing, and God interjected in your world and showed himself to be real. I don't know about most of you, but I'm naturally a skeptic. Maybe that's why God brought me here, because this place is full of skeptics. And maybe some of you were or still are. I mean, in many parts of my life, I'm still a skeptic. I tend to not believe things easily. So when I was younger, even though I had experienced certain things where I had seen the power of God, I was still skeptical. And I think I was about 14 years old. And we went to this one crusade, and there was this couple. They were an interesting couple. They were called the Happy Hunters. And they were people that had just encountered the power of God, and they would go and they would preach and they would pray for people, and miracles would happen. And for whatever reason, we were at this meeting. There was probably a few thousand people there. And they decided they were going to pray for everyone. And so they had everybody take hands, and one of them went on one end of the aisle, the other one on the other end of the aisle, and they just prayed for all the people in that row. And as soon as they grabbed their hands, everybody in the row would sit down. Now, I happened to be sitting with my oldest sister's boyfriend. We were in the very back row. There was nobody in the row but him and me. And we're watching this sort of row after row, and I'm going, these people, man, they're just sitting down. Come on. I mean, this is ridiculous. And so now it's coming to us. They're getting closer, and it's him and it's me. And so we're looking at each other. We are not sitting down, okay? We are not sitting down. We are going to stand here just to show that this is not really God. Well, the next moment, he grabbed my hand. I was holding Bruce's hand, and she grabbed his hand, and before you knew it, we were sitting on our seat. And you go, well, why would God do that? Well, part of it is imagine if God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Imagine if he touched you with just a very small bit of his power. I don't know if you've ever stuck your finger in a light socket, but it'll give you a really good shock. If you happen to live in New Zealand, where's Tay? It'll even give you a bigger shock because they have twice the amperage that we do going through their electrical cords or their electrical circuits. So imagine if the God of all creation, who spoke, says that the stars came out of his mouth. Wouldn't you like to see that? Then imagine if he just touched you with a little bit of his power. Our bodies would just do exactly what it did. And I was looking at him. I go, man, I thought you were going to stand up. He's looking at me. I thought you were going to stand up. And so it made me wonder, have any of you, had an encounter where the supernatural, unstoppable power of God has encountered your life? And it may be, you know, kind of simple. Like, I mean, I've had other places where that's happened, but that was very memorable because it happened when I was a young skeptic. Now I'm just a bit of an older skeptic in some ways. But while you're thinking about that, because I actually want to have maybe a few people share, I asked Nick to come, and he's just going to share for a few minutes because it was about a year ago, a little over a year ago, that he was in a small group at our house, and I remember him coming in and he was praying. He just said, you know, I really want to experience God's power and his presence. And while I've felt it at different times, I've never really had it happen in such a way that it just, I mean, I went, I knew that's God. And so we were praying for him for a matter of weeks, and he'll tell you the story, but God showed up, and I wanted him to share it because it's really powerful, because I know, and if you know Nick, he's not, you know, this kind of guy who's just, you know, crazy. I mean, some people, you know, sure, you experience God, right? You know, you're a little bit crazy all the time, right? But Nick is just a normal person like probably all of us here. And so, Nick, come and just briefly share what happened.
All right, so I'm not a huge talker, so this won't take very long. But anyway, he said it last summer. I was really praying and seeking God. I never doubted like that God existed or that He died for me, and all that stuff was, I knew that. But I wanted to basically experience like His presence, like His touch in my life. And up until that point, I never really felt it. Like, I knew it existed. I went to church, you know, I pray, you know, it's just like, but God, there's got to be more to this whole thing than me going to church and praying and praise God, hallelujah, and then going out and doing my own thing again. So, and like you said, we prayed about it a lot in our small group, and at home I prayed a lot and sought him, and there was one day I took a nap, I got up, and I don't know about you guys, but during the day, like, I kind of talk to God. I have this, like, dialogue, this conversation. Not out loud, because people would think I'd be crazy, but in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, God, it's such a nice day today, blah, 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 you know, just talking to God. And so I got up from my nap, and I said, you know, I started my dialogue, you know, hey, God, you know, and he's like, and I kid you not, like, I heard the words come out of God's mouth, what is it, my child? Like, there was no mistaking it. There was no, my wife was in Brazil at this time. My roommate wasn't at the apartment. I had no radio on, no TV on. It was an unmistakable, what is it, my child? So now I'm thinking to myself, I'm like kind of freaking out, because I'm like, God's here talking to me. You know, literally like talking to me. So I'm like, God, if this is you, I need to feel your presence, because I've been seeking you and I've been praying about this. Like, if this is really you, like, show me that you're here. And as soon as I said that, like, this big just presence, this cloud just kind of, like, came down, and I couldn't, like, stand up. Like, I was, like, basically, like, kind of sitting, like, I couldn't move. So, you know, speaking in tongues and all that, like, sounds crazy, but it happened. And I was like, God, this is too much. Like, my physical body cannot handle this. So he would give me, like, a two-minute break, you know, to let my physical self, like, recuperate, because I literally, like, my physical self couldn't take that, like, that strong presence. So, you know, then he would just do, after a couple of minutes was over with, he would do it again. More tongues, more, you know, crying, I was in tears. Like, it was unbelievably, unmistakably God for real. And it was definitely, like, what I was looking for and seeking. And it wasn't because I've done anything special, or I'm a saint, or memorized the Bible or anything. It was just, I think he saw my heart. He knew that that's what I was seeking, and he was faithful to meet me where I wanted him to meet me and to respond to me. So I have no doubt now that that God is who he says he is, and that he's definitely a real presence, and that, you know, if you are at that place where you're kind of seeking that, then I would encourage you to continue to press through and continue to pray and continue to seek him, because he will, if he did it for me, like, he'll do it for anybody else. So that's my story.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'm just looking at the time. One of the beauties and the challenges in us being here is we have to be out of here for sure by 6, which everybody says, praise God, Pastor Chris has to talk less. So I am going to, but I'm going to share just a couple of things, and then I'm going to have us do something, because one of the things that I believe that Scripture makes clear is that we're all called to be his ambassadors of grace. Every one of us. It says that we're called to be his ambassadors of reconciliation. We're called to pray for one another, encourage one another, stand alongside one another. That there aren't people who have more of the Holy Spirit than the next person. Do you hear me? There's nobody, no, I don't care if it's Billy Graham or even Jesus himself. He's walking with the power of the Holy Spirit. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you and me. So guess what? We have the same calling as every other person. We can come and we can speak life to one another through the power of Christ. We can speak his word. God can show. It says in the last days, old men will see dreams and young men will see visions. I turned 50 last week, so I think I'm officially in the old category. But God can speak to us so clearly. He can move in our life, and he doesn't just do that so we'll go, wow. He does that so we will be changed and transformed in his presence, so we will love people better. We'll be more bold in sharing the life of Christ. So we're going to get into, you know, the book of 1 Corinthians starting next week. But see, the church of Corinth, they embraced the power of God through the Holy Spirit, but then they began to walk it out in the flesh. How? Well, here's some ways, and listen to these things that they were doing and see if this maybe sounds like our world today. They were wanting the appearance of holiness, but not so concerned with the power of God to salvation. They wanted to look good. They were more concerned with the idea of tolerance than truth and righteousness. Paul calls them on it because it says there's a man sleeping with his father's wife in the church. You know about it, and nobody's even saying anything. That's tolerance. That's not truth and righteousness. They were allowing reason to override the voice of the Holy Spirit. Church had become an end unto itself, not a place of restoration and equipping the saints. So as we walk through the book of 1 Corinthians, I think we'll find a lot of places where it really resonates with us, the things that we see in our own lives, the things we struggle with, the things that we desire. Because, see, it's not just about the power of God. They got that in, but then it got into this whole pride and arrogance thing. It became a man-made ordeal. It's been said by many people that what is a work of the Holy Spirit today becomes a work of the flesh tomorrow. We're very good as humans in packaging things. God moves somewhere, and then we go, oh, look what God's doing. Everybody runs over there to see it, tries to package it, and now look at here what God's going to do. God doesn't work that way. I love the fact that Jesus, he pretty much didn't do two things, or do something the same way twice. He heals one blind man. He just says, go, your faith has made you whole. Next one, he spits in the mud and puts mud on his eyes. How crazy is that? I mean, if you're blind and you hear somebody going, and then you feel them, you know, putting mud on your eyes. But see, part of it is God does not want us to think we got it all figured out. He wants us to depend on him, not on ourselves. So in the last number of minutes that we have, I'm going to ask us to do something. Maybe if, Aaron, would you mind just coming over and just kind of playing on the keyboards a little bit? I believe that we're all called to be ministers. That every one of you, it says that our job as pastors, teachers, is to equip the saints. Who are the saints? Y'all. To do the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? It's loving people in Jesus' name, speaking to them in Jesus' name, bringing the gospel. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to set the captive free, to see blind eyes see. It says, this is the year of the Lord. It says, today this is fulfilled. When Jesus read it, guess what? We're called to that ministry. And so I want us to do something that, I mean, personally, I think it's very biblical. I don't think it's scary. Jesus says, you will lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. He wasn't talking again to just the chosen few. He was talking to us, the church. I believe that God speaks to us. That when we ask, he says, whoever seeks me will find me. Whoever knocks on the door, it will be answered. That wasn't hypothetical. And so I want us to be practical, to be real, to have God stretch us, to be biblical. Again, it's so easy that somehow, in at least the Western world, we have reasoned God almost out of the picture. Andrew Murray has a great statement. He says, if you took the Holy Spirit out of the early church, 95% of what they did would cease. He said, today, if you took the Holy Spirit out of our church, 95% of what we do would continue. That's shocking and sad if that's true. So I want you to find one person. I'd kind of like it to be men with men and women with women. I think it just makes it easier. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray for one another. And you go, okay, well, that's not a big deal. No, it's not, actually. But I'm going to ask you to even go a step further. I'm going to ask you to lay hands on one another and pray for each other. And some of you go, oh, well, now that's a little bit. Jesus said, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Now, I'm not saying that everybody here is sick. Probably all of us are at some level. Maybe it's emotionally, maybe it's physically, maybe it's financially, maybe it's spiritually. But I want us to pray for one another. I want us to pray, and maybe you are sick. I believe it's true. In Mark, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said again, these signs will accompany those who believe. Do you believe? Then they should accompany us. Because it's not about us. We always dismiss God on account of ourselves. Well, God, I mean, do you know who I am? God knows who we are. It's not about us. It's about Him. His power is greater than all of our strengths and our weaknesses. So I want us to pray for each other. They don't have to be long prayers, but I want you to pray that maybe God would have a word for you to speak into that person's life. Maybe it's a scripture verse that He just drops into your heart. Maybe it's a picture. I know some of us, God shows up and He shows us pictures, visions, or dreams. I've had God do that at moments in my life where it's changed and altered someone's direction of their life. Not because of me, but because the power of God confirmed something He'd been speaking to them. So can we be biblical, be stretched to walk in the power of God, to pray for one another, that no one would leave here not having had their real needs met? And if you're sick, tell the person so they can pray for you and believe God to heal. We believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. What He did, He still does. He healed, He still heals. He set free, He still sets free. So I'm going to shut up because otherwise we're going to run out of time. But I want you to find one person, man with a man, woman with a woman, and pray for them. And you can ask Him if there's something specifically, but then I want you to just pray and say, God, show me. And if He tells you how to pray, then pray that way. Because you may go, well, that's so crazy. You do not know where they are. You do not know what's going on, but God does. So as we prepare to do that, Lord Jesus, Your word is true. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You did say that when You went to be with the Father, we would do greater things than the things we saw You doing. That when we would wait, that the Holy Spirit would come upon us. That the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. That we have been called to do the work of the ministry. So God, I pray even now, as we step out of our comfort zone into someone else's world, may You speak to us and through us. May we speak prophetically into one another's lives. May we see people healed today because of who God is. Not to bring glory to any man, but to bring glory to God. May it happen. May it be true. In Jesus' name, amen. So take a few minutes. Again, we don't really have time for you to talk a lot. So pray, find somebody quickly, and we're going to see what God will do.